Hey, McConnell here. Thanks for podcasting the show. If you like this, why don't you check out the blog? It's sponsored by Time Warner Cable Business Class. Let them tailor the right mix of internet, phone, and cable TV for your business at twcinci.biz. That's twcinci.biz.
700 WLW Podcast. Check out Mike McConnell weekday mornings 9 to noon on 700 WLW.
All right, lunch from Andy's Mediterranean Grill today, and they're part of a big fundraiser that's going to happen on Sunday. It's called La Fiesta North, and it's a buffet, wine, and dessert from 2 to 5 on Sunday, and it all goes to an orphanage in Mexico. This is an annual event, and it's done in conjunction with the Vineyard, as in the church. Now, if you can't make it there, you can check it out online, vineyardonsunday.com. Vineyardonsunday.com. And they raise money and they help out and build houses for people and all that jazz. They work hard at this. So it's La Fiesta. La Fiesta North. It's at Andy's Mediterranean Grill on Sunday. 2 to 5, 25 bucks a person. And it's, again, dinner buffet, wine, and dessert. Can't go wrong. 906 Nassau Street. Andy'sKebab.com. Want to find out more about him and where they are. Andy'sKebab.com. That's pretty simple now, isn't it? Now, isn't it? Have a ball game coming your way. I'll bow out in about a half hour, thereabouts. And that's your entertainment for your afternoon. And in the interim, fun with fireworks if no one had to go to the hospital, please. And also taking nominations for best cheap beer, too. Quick email. Years ago, a buddy of mine was in a bar. He put a black cat firecracker in his mouth like it was a smoke and went around the bar asking for a light. He got to the end of the bar and someone obliged. His lips were wet, so he could not get the firecracker out before it went off. Wow, what a scream. It took 3 days for the swelling to go down, says Brian. If I had to go between, if I had to take between my hand and my lips, I'd have to choose the hand. I got to go with the hand. I wince just thinking about that one. And some people hold them for a while. Thanks for your patience. Don, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
This was a long time ago, probably about 40 years, back in 1970.
All right.
And my brother-in-law and I, somehow he had a whole box of firecrackers. I mean, this was big stuff. Everything smaller than sticks of dynamite. And this was back when you could go to a Mount Airy forest, when two guys could go up there and enjoy the woods, you know.
Sure.
And so we took them up there, and we were just blowing up tree stumps and down limbs and everything. I mean, we were just having a good old time.
Back when things went boom, you got it.
Yes. We had like about 5 M80s or something like that, Silver Salutes, whatever they were called. Had about 5 of them left. I lit a cigarette, and we laid them all on a tree stump and put them on the cigarette so when it burned down, you know, light the wicks.
Sure.
And we start going back towards the parking lot. We get at the edge of the woods, and the parking lot is filled with cops and park patrol, the Rangers.
You were with them. It's obvious you didn't do it. So what happened?
You know, I'm scared to death. Oh, we're going to end up in jail or something, you know. He grabs my arm. He says, come on. And we run right up to the biggest cop. And he says, there's these kids down there. They're blowing up the woods. And every single cop and ranger took off down that trail. We just got in the car and left.
And when did the cops catch it before the cigarette burned down or after?
No, right as he was saying that, the cigarette burned down, and you know, it was a pretty
sizable boom.
Yes.
Which, like I've said, it's proof you weren't doing it. You were with them.
Yeah. And
you pulled it off.
Yeah. He pulled it off. Just thinking on his feet that fast, it was great.
Well, it's good to have a friend who can who has a gift of gab, you know. A good BS artist.
And good, I don't know if it's cheap, but, you know, it's It's under $12 a 12-pack, or under 10, Will. It's under $7 a 12-pack.
Is?
Natural Ice.
Natural Ice?
Yeah.
Can't
say
that.
Anheuser-Busch, and it's 5.9% alcohol.
You can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't.
All right, I'll try one. Got to run.
Okay.
Thanks. See you later. Yeah, go. Anthony, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to share my firecracker story. And I don't know if I can, I don't know if my story matches the butter dish between the crotch, but.
Along the same lines.
Well, similar anyway. My daughter, she was about 2 years old at the time, and she had some of them sparklers. And my dad always said, man, them things are hot, you know, don't let your kids play with them. And I thought, well, you know, just once, you know, and the wind happened to blow just right and blew the tip off and right down her shirt, and she's got about a 2-inch scar. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly sore there for a little bit, but yeah, a lot of people don't know how dangerous they are, and I just thought I'd share that with everybody.
Well, sometimes you've seen these pictures online. I mean, they make me wince. These guys will put a Roman candle down the crack of their butt. Their buddy lights it. Like they don't realize. Yeah, they think it's going to take off without burning you. And there's a couple. I mean, if it was more family oriented, I'd put them on the website. But some of the burns I've seen online from those. I mean, you got to be a drunken idiot.
Wow.
That can't, nothing can go right. Nothing can go right. It's like welcoming a burn.
Well, I won't be enjoying those festivities.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that. All right.
Thanks
gotcha. Lot. See you later. You betcha. Go ahead, Colin. What's going on?
Hey, Mike. How you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you.
Hey, a few years ago, prior to going to the Marine Corps, that last 4th of July, my brother and I decided to do it upright. And we lived out in West Texas, which is nothing but oil patch and desert. And they kind of got a laissez-faire attitude and, you know, all patriotic and everything out there. They got fireworks stands all over the place. And we went and bought like 500 bottle rockets. And we figured we'd weld up some bazookas and shoot them out of there. But prior to that, we figured as a prelude, we'd make our own improvised explosives. And my dad owned these welding yards, and they had acetylene and oxygen. What we'd do is we'd take these 30-gallon hefty bags and fill them up with acetylene and oxygen and then put a fuse on them. We'd light the fuse, and we'd take off running. We'd get about 30 yards away before these things went off, and you'd see this bright flash of light, this wave and concussion and heat would all come past you, and it was like being in a cartoon where you see the character in midair and their feet are still spinning.
Yeah.
And it would lift us up, and we'd hit the ground, and we'd keep on running.
Where were you doing this?
Out in my one of my dad's welding yards, which just happened to be just outside of the city limits. Well, while this was going on, the city was having their 4th of July fireworks display out at the city park. What we didn't realize is that they could hear us over their fireworks out at the city park. So after about the 5th one, we decided to give it a rest, and we started walking out towards the street. And when we got there, there were 3 city police cars, 2 sheriff's cars, and a state trooper out there waiting for us. And they wanted to know what had been going on, and we shrugged our shoulders and made the big wide eyes at them. And being as how we were outside city limits, they really couldn't do anything about it. The city cops were all highly irritated about it, but the sheriffs and troopers thought whatever we were doing, it must have been pretty amusing.
Just telling we were back there yelling boom real loud.
they said, whatever's going on out here, it's disturbing our fireworks in town. And we figured we'd shut it down for the night, and we just got on with our bottle rocket wars once they drove off.
Well, if it's that big and that much fun, I'm surprised it's the first time I've heard of it. And again, we don't promote these ideas, certainly.
It's one of those things where they, like the disclaimer they put at the end of the commercial, don't try this at home.
Oh, yeah. Even though you're not paid professionals.
Well, I did end up going in the Marine Corps. Got to play with plenty of pyrotechnics, and once you get it in you, it's in your blood for life, I think. And I still have all my digits.
Can't beat that.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Mike.
You bet. How dangerous can it be? See you now. And beer issue, Rob, what's going on?
What's going on, Mike?
You are.
Special Export Light Old Style Beer out of Chicago. Cheap beer, incredibly brewed in Chicago, led to my fireworks story, actually. We were staying downtown on Lakeshore used to be a Days Inn. They had balconies, and so we were letting off some, just some basic bottle rockets off the balconies, 8th or 10th floor. Guys next to us thought it'd be a great idea, and we had dinner reservations, so we handed them off to them, let them finish up. And as we're going down, coming back from dinner, we see them going out the front door in handcuffs with two of Chicago's finest. Hammered on the old style beer, and so it kind of ties in. It's really good beer, but it's a really bad idea to use it to let bottle rockets off the balcony on Lakeshore Drive in Chicago.
I was going
to
say, there's no way you can nonchalantly be setting off fireworks there.
No, pretty much everybody sees you. But, you know, we went over to watch the Reds play the Cubs and thought we'd have fun, so we took some fireworks with us and got hooked on the old style beer over there, which was really, really cheap. And like I said, they finished off our package of bottle rockets and got more than they bargained for with a night in Gray Bar Hotel in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, old style is one of those. That beer is fine by me, but the locals turn their nose up at it.
I don't get it. I mean, I'll go to you know, Jungle Gems or one of the bigger places to try to get them to order it. I can hardly find it, but when you can, you buy as much as you can because it's really nice. It's really good beer. It's not very expensive.
I'm right there with you.
See you, bud.
All right, you bet. Got around. Get to a break, shall we? Stand by. This is 700 WL. All right, bottom of the alley of the inside pitch coming your way. Bill Bangert has that, then the game itself. So post-game, fingers of Tracy Jones are in. Does Tracy make the list? Biggest jerks in sports. After the game. The biggest jerks in sports today or in the history of sports? You got to be a pretty big whatever to be the biggest jerk in the history of sports. What's the biggest jerk in the history of the world? Now, there's a potential Friday in the history of the world. Like a jerk Hall of Fame. Taking your votes on the best cheap beer in the world and then fireworks stories that do not involve the emergency room. Fun with fireworks when perhaps not everything went according to plan. Hey, Steve, in Fort Wayne, let's go.
Hey, Mike, this is a no-brainer. You should know the best and expensive beer.
Is?
The Busch Brothers, Busch Beer.
Busch Beer or Busch Draft Light?
No, you got to stick with the original, Busch Beer.
Are you one of the Busch Brothers?
One of the Busch Brothers up in Fort Wayne. We just had our annual meeting down in Cincinnati last weekend. Wish you could have been there.
But they tore the house down, didn't they?
Sad but true. So we had to move our annual meeting east, on the east side of town. I did not make the Case Club, but others did.
What did they do with all the cans when they tore the Busch house down?
Well, you know, sadly, there was almost 40,000 cans in there. Couldn't find anyone that would want to come in and recycle them. When they were prepping the building to tear it down, they tore out all the doors and the windows, and I think some of 40-year-old's finest bums came in and cleaned all the cans out.
Why not just tear them down with a house and send them to the landfill? Oh, they recycled them all?
Yeah, I think all that came in and recycled them. I hope somebody did. Yeah, we took out all the signs and all the good stuff, but
right.
left a lot of the cans. We took out a couple of the cans that you had signed for us. You know, those are in the Hall of Fame.
Well, they would have to be. That's just common sense right there.
But I just left the store over here in Indiana. It was $4.29 a six-pack. Of course, you know, I'd buy nothing short of a case or a 30-pack.
Well, certainly not.
Of course.
And what were the rules for being in the on the Wall of Fame? You had to drink how many in a day?
Well, to become an associate, you have to drink 12 in a day. And then so for the Case Club, you have to drink 24 during the meeting, at the meeting.
24. And how long is the meeting?
It starts at 12 noon, but you can't fall asleep. You can't close your eyes for more than like 30 seconds. You can't spill any beer. It's pretty tough criteria.
So in the course of a day, beginning at noon, you polish off 24, then you're an associate.
No, 12 for an associate, 24 to become a Case Club member.
A Case Club member.
And get your name on the plaque. If you ever want to try, let me know. We'll gather some of the guys together. We'll see if you can make it.
That's right there on my old bucket list, let me tell you. All right, Steve.
Right,
thanks.
Got
it on. You bet. Say ya. You don't know the background of those guys. They were UC students, drank a lot of Busch beer, and started. They built pretty decent what's my word, the shelving or whatever. They did an excellent job and covered most of the walls, the interior walls of this house, with cans of Bush that they had consumed. And it was a decent size. I mean, he said 40,000. I'll take his word for it. There were certainly tens of thousands of Bush beer cans on the wall. They just tore that house down, I want to say, this past winter, last fall. And it's not like they just graduated a year or two ago. They've been around for a while. All right, West Virginia. John, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. Great show.
Good to have you.
Firecracker story.
Yes.
Back in the early 60s, I was working for a contractor, and we had to use dynamites. Are you much familiar with blasting caps and fuse?
I've not played with them myself, but I've heard stories.
Well, you know how strong the M-80s were and the cherry bombs?
Yes.
Okay. Well, when we run out of those, I would go buy these blasting caps and fuse because I could buy them at 16. Back then, nobody cared. And the blasting cap, the fuse goes inside this blasting cap. It's a, like a metal jacket.
Right.
And that's what goes in the dynamite and sets it off. But they're about, just the cap itself is about three times more powerful than like a cherry bomb.
All right.
So that when we run out of cherry bombs and M-80s, we use blasting caps to blow stuff up. It was amazing.
Well, it's the next logical step in the progression. Everybody knows that.
Now, we never fooled with the dynamite, but the caps would blow concrete apart, blow water 10 feet up out of the, like a pond. And but that's when you get desperate, you have to go to desperate measures.
Well, that's not, if you go to dynamite, you're being irresponsible. Everybody knows that. You have to stop at blasting caps.
Yeah. Well, those would have blown your hand off, no doubt about it.
Well, it's good to have some sensible delinquents out there.
Yeah, I'm surprised we all made it this far, right?
You got
right.
It.
That's all I got.
All right, you bet. See, we forget the ones that didn't make it this far. I made it this far. Well, you know, some didn't. Hey, Kurt, Tip City, what's up?
Hey, Mike. On the beer front, I was in Aruba. They have called I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Balasha or Balasha.
I haven't been there, so
it's very good. About the only thing they produce there besides water. On the fireworks story, last summer or last 4th of July, we were at a friend's house and they had some land, so we were setting off the fireworks and we got the little mortars you drop in and boom, they go up. Pretty nice show, but we all had these big wire spools as our table, as our
yeah.
And there's four of us. And, you know, we got them all laid out. We're being careful. We're screwing the launchers or the tubes down so they don't tip over. Well, one went off in the tube, blew the tube up, and my buddy, who was about 10 feet away, is on his table, and he had one of those plastic solo glasses, filled with his drink. And that thing exploded. Well, the liquid went on him. He didn't know what it was. He thought he was dead. He thought it was blood. And just to see the look on his face afterwards, of course, everything starts going off like World War III. But it was pretty funny because, you know, of course, everyone was okay. But just his reaction, looking at him, looking at his shirt, feeling the wetness,
Thinking the worst.
Thinking the worst. Happy 4th of July, Michael.
Hey, right back at you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. See you later. Quick one. Sell. Yeah, Terry, what's up?
Hey, Mike, enjoy your show. It's bringing back a lot of fond memories.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Back in the late 60s, I lived in Erlanger, Kentucky, and at the end of Stevenson Road, they had this big open creek that we used to walk and get crawdads and go fishing with. Well, I'm down there by myself the weekend of 4th of July, a hot summer day, and I'm walking along. Of course, back in those days, everybody that weekend had a pocket full of firecrackers. Well, I keep hearing this noise. It sounded like Rice Krispies with milk being poured on them. What the heck's that? I go poking around in the grass, and there's a big dead groundhog just covered in maggots. These maggots are making this noise. I said, well, I'm going to fix these things. I took two firecrackers and tied them together, lit it, threw it down there, and the more and I turned around, those maggots blew all over me.
Uh-huh.
It was about 15 seconds. I'm bare butt naked heading for the creek, man, jumping in that thing.
Blew the maggots all over you.
Oh, I had them in my hair, down my back. I had them everywhere.
Did you just stand there to watch it go off?
No, I don't know. It must have landed funny because the wick, and as soon as it hit, it went off. I just turned around, took one step, and boom. It blew.
Maggot City.
Had them all over me. I squirmed today thinking about that.
Yeah, I squirmed thinking about it.
Hey, real quick while I got you on here. About a year ago, you had a guest on there that was talking about building a beer museum here in Cincinnati, picking Cincinnati out of all the other cities. And I've never heard anything from him since then.
New one on me. Beer Dave is usually out there listening. If he knows anything about it, he can email me.
Well, you had him on your show. Either he's a beer museum of the world or something like that.
Yeah,
beer history.
Yeah, at one point, where Oldenburg was, they had a beer museum of sorts in there. But
I remember that. Yeah,
I don't know. Those guys are out there. So word will get around to whoever. Let me know about that and the status of it. They'll get to me. I'll get to you.
Okay. Hey, enjoy the show.
All right. Thanks so much. See you later. A pause. News update. Back and cap an award winner a bit early. 700 WLW.